WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, October 15th. Coming up, we'll go inside one Midwestern hospital to get a closer look at the fight against COVID-19 and how the Delta variant has made patients younger and sicker. That story from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. More than 10,000 John Deere workers at plants in Illinois, Iowa, and Kansas went on strike yesterday after their union contract ran out at midnight Wednesday. Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rembert has more.
The United Auto Workers Union and Deere failed to reach terms on a new six-year contract. Rank-and-file workers had earlier rejected an offer promising up to 6% raises and cost-of-living increases. The deal union members turned down also included higher monthly payments for retired workers on the pension plan, but would have ended pensions for employees hired after November 1st. The strike marks one of the largest labor walkouts in the country since UAW shut down General Motors plants in 2019. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Elizabeth Rembert.
A 20-year-old Champaign man was arraigned yesterday for a deadly mass shooting that occurred in Champaign in July. The Champaign County State's Attorney's Office is charging DeVucci Craig with first-degree murder in connection with the shooting at the American Legion post on Hickory Street. Police say Craig shot and killed 17-year-old Keyshawn Thatch, who was attending a post-funeral gathering for his uncle. Four other people were also seriously injured in the gunfight that followed. Officers say Craig confessed his involvement in the shooting to a family member. If convicted, he could face a 45- to 85-year prison term. In addition, Craig is charged with aggravated cruelty to animals. Sheriff's deputies took him into custody on Tuesday after they found a suffocated dog at his home. Sunlight and water power two new buses in the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District fleet. Champaign-Urbana is one of the first transit agencies to adopt the zero-emissions technology. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
The Mass Transit District unveiled two hydrogen fuel cell buses to much fanfare on Thursday. National leaders like Federal Transit Administration head Nuria Fernandez lauded MTD for leading the way for other bus systems.
MTD is certainly at the cutting edge because this is going to emit only water vapor instead of greenhouse gases, and that is what's leading the way in the fight of climate change.
The MTD will produce its own hydrogen supply using a solar-powered electrolyzer. The hydrogen then powers the bus all day. The new buses will travel along the city's busiest routes, like the Yellow, Silver, and Illini lines. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Public health officials reported 31 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County yesterday. The number of active cases is at 440, down by about 20 over the last week. 20 Champaign County residents are currently hospitalized. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 52 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. That's down from 60 on Wednesday. 12 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll get an inside look at how the Delta variant of COVID-19 has made hospitalized patients younger and sicker. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
These days, there's no shortage of news, but not all sources are trustworthy. In honor of U.S. Media Literacy Week, Illinois Public Media is asking, who's in charge of the news? Join us the week of October 25th to learn about the growing news desert in Illinois and find out whether new laws can save local journalism. Find our special reports on WILL Radio, TV, and IllinoisNewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The number of individuals hospitalized with COVID-19 remains high across the country. And with the Delta variant dominating cases, patients are now younger, sicker, and often require more intensive care. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs checked in with one hospital in Iowa.
On the 8th floor of Iowa Methodist Hospital in downtown Des Moines, 56-year-old Russell Braley watches daytime TV in one of the recovery units. He's breathing through a tube running from his nose to an oxygen unit.
I've been in motorcycle wrecks. I've almost died several times in my lifetime. This was the scariest thing I've ever been through.
Braley lives in Des Moines and is talking about his recent battle with COVID-19, which he says nearly killed him. A month ago, Braley arrived at Methodist by ambulance. He was so sick he couldn't get out of bed. And like most COVID-19 patients, he's unvaccinated.
It's like drowning above water. I mean, if you can't breathe, there's nothing else scarier.
A year and a half into the pandemic, the system Methodist Hospital is part of no longer has designated COVID units. Instead, patients are scattered around in different departments depending on their needs.
Floor number one, going down.
They lay in beds hooked up to tubes, some on ventilators. Those under isolation precautions have the same note taped on the closed doors of their rooms, reminding staff to take extra precautions before entering. Every day, Julie Gibbons and her team count them all. She manages infection prevention. She points to a printed off graph resting on her briefcase.
So here's a nice little graph.
It shows the hospital system's COVID case count in Des Moines since March of last year. But Gibbons says this current wave is clearly different. It's lasting much longer.
We've been at this high level between 65 and 70, I think 7 patients for 2.5 months. That's a lot of COVID patients.
On the day I'm visiting, the hospital system's Des Moines facilities have 66 patients with active COVID cases. This means they're still testing positive for the virus. It's the system's official COVID count. But Gibbons says in reality, there's also about 24 additional COVID patients who now test negative for the virus and are labeled as recovered, but they're still in the hospital, fighting its effects.
Some of them won't ever get off the ventilator and will die even as COVID recovered because their lungs were just so damaged.
The sickest patients are in the intensive care unit, where nurses like Jelana Volbrecht care for them, often for weeks. Volbrecht says in her 15 years working at the hospital, she's never seen the ICU this full.
Every day it seems like we're trying to get patients out of the ICU so that way we can get patients into the ICU.
This kind of deep, prolonged stress is affecting all kinds of healthcare workers, and it's leading to workforce shortages for many hospitals like Methodist.
It's taken a huge toll on our department.
Lisa Kingery is the supervisor for the respiratory care team, which sees every COVID patient in the hospital. Kingery says her team has many vacant positions right now.
We've had a lot of seasoned staff quit. Go to different professions, go to different institutions. Everybody's very tired and very burned out. Mm-hmm.
But with many COVID infection rates still high and vaccinations still lagging across the Midwest, the reality is many people will need hospitals like Methodist in the coming months. Back on the 8th floor recovery unit, 52-year-old Brenton Harmison wipes tears from his eyes as he recounts how the hospital saved his life.
And give me a second chance to live again. It's pretty emotional. I didn't think I was that close to being dead. COVID ain't no joke.
Harmison says he wants everyone to get vaccinated. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Natalie Krebs.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with occasional showers again today and a high of 67 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Elizabeth Rembert, Reginald Hardwick, Emily Hayes, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.